What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is Article of the Week number 13, and the article we're going to be discussing today is titled Ingestion of Insect Protein Isolate Enhances Blood Amino Acid Concentrations Similar to Soy Protein in Human Trial. And this podcast idea and concept has been kind of bouncing around my head for a long time, because if you're in the the health world, insect protein kind of comes up every once in a while. And if you're more, ecologically centric, I don't know what the word is, but if you really care about the planet, people say, you know, insects can save the world. You know, we can all just live on insects. We don't have to eat beef. We don't have to worry about chickens or eggs or milk. And I wanted to really look into the data to see if that's true, because off the top of my head, I would say no, but I wasn't 100% sure. So this article was just kind of an entry point into the metabolism of insect protein to see if it's of any sort of decent quality. And if it is of good quality, then we can have that conversation of insects actually being a replacement or addition to our diet as a dietary source of protein. So, Tom, do you want to just touch on the article real quick?
Yeah, so this study was a very, very small study. It was looking at six healthy young men, and it was a good quality study that it was a randomized crossover study. That's pretty much the gold standard. They were looking at three different types of protein: whey protein, soy protein, and insect protein. And they were also using a placebo on four separate days. So very short study, very, very small sample size, but that's what you get when you have these high quality randomized, like, control studies. So the results pretty much were whey was by far the best, and soy and insect protein were about tied for second best or tied for worst, however you want to look at it. There wasn't too much of a difference between the two of those.
Yeah, and if you've listened to this podcast before, you know I'm not a fan of soy at all. Like, I think soy was never designed to be eaten. It should be used as a fertilizer, but humans became too smart and they realized ways they can process it and make it somewhat edible, even though it's still not good for you at all. But in the plant-based world, I hate to say it because I hate giving soy any sort of credit, it is most likely the best source of dietary protein in the plant-based world. And if you compare it to peas, or you compare it to, I don't know, what other plant-based proteins are out there?
I mean, like, the best ones are all generally legumes, like that, which is a soybeans, like, you know, legumes, beans, that type of thing. I guess nuts are kind of up there.
Yeah, so
I don't really know what else.
Yeah, stuff like that. But in that world, soy does come out on top because it does have a complete amino acid profile. And when you do process it in a way to make soy protein isolate, it kind of gets around some of the deficiencies of just whole soy. So having these insects, and they use lesser mealworm, specifically in this study, match soy protein, is a good sign, because that's kind of like the lowest bar possible to pass the test, you know? Because if it was the same as a pea protein, it wouldn't be very good quality. Or if it was the same as, I'm sure there's like rice proteins out there, not very good quality, for numerous different reasons, usually because they're lacking one or several essential amino acid. And initially, when we did this podcast, I just was going to talk about how insect protein sucks and why no one should honestly take it. And that's because my brain, if you listen to this, you know, or you just know me, it always goes to like what's optimal. And that's one of the major reasons why I eat the way I do and why I live my life the way I do. It's always trying to get things to the most optimal situation. So I wake up early, I lift weights because that's optimal. And I know, like, are there people who go to the gym after work? Are there people that run after work? Yeah, for sure. But in my opinion, that's not optimal because you're leaving the door open to miss your workout. You know, you have a bad day, you have a long day, etc. Something goes on. And I focus on eating animal-based whole foods because that's optimal for overall health and wellness. And are there people out there that eat plant-based diets and do well? 100%. Like, I can't deny that. But it's a fact that a plant-based diet is simply too nutrient deficient to be optimal. So again, that's how I approach this subject. So is eating insect protein optimal? And the answer is no. And that's because it's not as bioavailable as other animal source proteins like milk, eggs, and meat. And that's what this study showed. And like I said, I thought that was going to be my argument. Basically, podcasts just pointing that out over and over again. But then I started thinking, can everyone eat animal-based foods on the planet as the population keeps increasing? And this is a conversation me and Tom have had, and the answer is, it's hard either way, right?
Well, if our population just keeps growing, especially at the rate that we expect it to, I don't know if there is any, like, good solution to it. Like, I definitely don't think growing more, like, nutrient-poor foods should be the focus, like, 'cause that doesn't really make a lot of sense. Oh, hey, yeah, we can grow the population, but we're just going to have more people in hospitals, more diabetics, more people starving because all the food that we're growing and eating is just, like, so nutrient-poor that nobody is able to survive and thrive on a nice, healthy diet. So that doesn't seem like the best answer.
But, you know, that's exactly what we did 10,000 years ago, right?
Yeah, I know. And then also, if we want people to be smart enough to come up with solutions for this problem, then we should give as many people the best opportunity as possible to come up with that. And the way you do that is you have a lot of people on a healthy diet. Like, there's a lot of CEOs in Silicon Valley that do a lot of keto. They do a lot of fasting. They do a lot of these intermittent fasting. They do a lot of these kind of biohacks to make them even smarter. Well, if we want to, like, use that kind of strategy, we should have as many people on the same type of protocols as possible, not make 9.5 billion people sick, overweight, you know, malnourished, and we just have, like, that top 1% thriving. That doesn't seem like the best solution.
Yeah, see, that's exactly where my mind went as well. I think that's exactly right. And I think a smarter thing to do would be to look at our current system. So I think we should fix our food waste problem. And that's
a big one. That's a gigantic problem.
Right? Because, like, half the food we grow in this country pretty much goes uneaten. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about restaurants overbuying. Grocery stores are forced to throw out foods when they hit the, like, expiration date, even if they are still good. There's, like, a lot of big problems with that. A lot of our fresh produce that doesn't look good enough just doesn't even make it into the grocery stores. It just gets thrown away. So just fixing that food waste problem is a gigantic, solution right there if we could take care of that one.
Yep, I agree. And I think the second thing we need to do is spend time and resources on optimizing our animal agriculture that we already have in place. So basically get more cows on more grass everywhere. So that should be the first line of attack. But fixing our food waste and food access issues is a huge problem. And I'm sure the solution is going to be complex and probably won't make everyone happy, but it's a problem that really does need to be solved. And once we have all of that stuff in line, I do think insect protein can be part of the solution and play a role in the diet of our ever-expanding population. And that's because I looked into some of the numbers about the world's population and food consumption, and the numbers, they'll just blow your mind. So the global population is projected to reach approximately 9.6 billion by 2050. Meat consumption per capita is expected to increase by 29%. Dairy and egg production are projected to reach 1,043 and 102 million tons globally by 2050. And this will really put a strain on the animal-based agriculture. Feeding that many people will be hard. And honestly, it's already hard feeding the 6 billion people on the planet right now. Chronic, inadequate protein intake and protein energy malnutrition currently affects approximately 1 billion people worldwide. And that's something I don't think about, and that's something you don't think about either, right?
No, honestly, like, not only do I have so many nice, healthy protein options in the grocery store, but if I even want to get more protein, I can go buy a high-quality protein supplement for, like, next to nothing. Like, I can get all the protein in the world that I want, and it's not even hard. Like, I think almost every single grocery store sells protein supplements and, like, high-quality protein sources. So, yeah, I can get tons of protein. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, and see, same here. Like, in America, we're, like, the land of excess, and obviously most countries out there. But in a lot of places all over the world, that's not true. And I think this is where insect protein comes into play. Because eating insects is something that many cultures already do around the world. Approximately 2 billion people worldwide, mostly residing in Africa, Asia, and South America, consume insects as part of their traditional diet. And you know, we're all about ancestral diets around here, so that's an important factor. And to date, more than 2,000 species of insects have been reported to be used as food by humans. So that's a huge number. Did you know that?
Yeah, that sounds a lot higher. Because I was just thinking, like, I know crickets.
Yeah, like, we don't even
worms,
know.
Like snails. And like, that was like that's all I got.
That's it.
But yeah, I mean, I guess it makes sense because, like, how many different types of snails are there? How many different types of crickets?
Thousands.
How many different worms? Like, yeah, so I guess I can see how that number adds up.
Mm-hmm.
I think some people eat ants, stuff like that,
yep.
too.
Mm-hmm. Yep, ants are on the list, too. So obviously, that's a huge number, right? 2,000 different species. And the thing is with insects is they all have different nutritional qualities. So something... Right now, if you were to get a steak sample, a chicken sample, and a pork sample, and just measure their nutritional quality, from an amino acid standpoint, they're going to be very similar. Of course, there's going to be little deviations here and there, depending on the season, depending on the animal, depending on the cut, all that type of stuff, but not that big of a difference. But with insects, it's a huge difference, honestly, sometimes. Some insects have a complete amino acid profile, and their amino acids are pretty high quality. Other ones don't. They're like the same amino acid quality as, say, like bread, and nobody thinks of bread as a quality protein source. So I looked through some of the papers on insects and their amino acid profile, and insects like beetles, wasps, butterflies, and grasshoppers exceed current essential amino acid requirements for adults, and they have an essential amino acid content similar and comparable to beef, eggs, and milk. So if we focus on mass producing these insects and figure out the best, most ecologically friendly method to process them, then these insects can be part of a healthy diet, in my opinion. The alternative, if again, animal agriculture can't keep up with with the planet's population, the alternative would be plant-based proteins. I think relying on insects is way more better than relying on plant-based proteins. I mean, both from a quality standpoint and an ecological standpoint. Like monocrops, these huge fields of soy are not natural and they are not good for the planet in any way, shape, or form. So, and insects, I read a few papers. I'll link it to all these papers on the post, by the way, so you can read them. But insect, agriculture, you can call it, can be linked and closely tied to animal agriculture. So the impact isn't going to be so dramatic. It's not going to be completely free from like a carbon standpoint and an energy standpoint that you have to input into the system. But they can be connected to current established animal protocols. And we just have to find the right insects to breed, basically.
I see what you're saying there, and I do agree with a lot of it. But where my brain keeps going, and it just keeps going back to like the sacred cow, the book, and the documentary on that. And if we can focus more on 100% grass-fed beef, I think we could turn a lot of what are like currently deserts. I mean, this is going to take years of hard work. But if we can turn those back into grass fields, because like, hey, Egypt used to be all grass fields. Like most of Africa used to be a lot of grass fields. Like the Middle East, ancient Mesopotamia, that used to be all like grass fields. Like if we could start turning a lot of these deserts back into grass fields, and the way to do that is with regenerative agriculture by growing or by raising, you know, beef or other ruminants like lambs, sheep, goats, water buffaloes, that type of thing, camels, whatever the native animal is. And then we can start reintroducing more and more crop area, or not crop area, but just grassy land. We can raise a lot more beef. And I think that should be the real main focus, is that because of the whole nutritional, like, upcycling factor. Yes, I do think these insects can be, like, a nice supplement. I just don't think that they can be the main course, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense completely. And I agree. I think for someone like me, am I going to supplement with insect protein? No, I'm not. And I think insect protein should be considered like a collagen supplement, in my opinion. So if you're lucky enough to live in America, or just have access to all the protein you can ever want, insects can be added on as like you would take a collagen powder. So they are higher, or at least some of the insects, again, there's 2,000 species and their amino acid profiles vary dramatically, but some of the insects have a higher glycine content, and something Tom's pointed out a bunch of times, that glycine can be limiting on some animal-based diets. It's just fairly low in steak. It's adequate, but it's low. So if you wanted to add more, you could supplement with insects, just like you would with a collagen powder nowadays. And collagen protein is very popular if you're in kind of the fitness or health community. So insects can take that role. And you're right. Like, I think focusing on just animal agriculture and regenerative agriculture in places like Africa, because like the Sahara, the big desert in Africa, is expanding. Africa is turning into a desert. It's going to eventually reach, it's getting closer and closer to the equator. And that's because we've just mismanaged our soil quality. It's all just gone to shit. It used to not be desert, like Tom said. So if we can focus on improving our soil health and rebuilding those grasslands, that should be focus number one. And a lot of these papers, this podcast almost turned into a whole different podcast, because a lot of the references for looking into insects for protein, their main objective initially, at least in the abstracts, were to damn animal agriculture. They say, you know, beef's too expensive, chickens do this, cows do that. But they use so much misinformation and so much data that's honestly wrong. So I want to, in the future, I will touch on those just the misinformation with cattle and just with cows, with their water consumption and their land usage and their food usage, because a lot of the studies they referenced, it was honestly the same shit studies all these papers referenced that damned cows, and it's just wrong. So if we were to really focus on improving animal agriculture and getting it everywhere, I think the capacity this earth has to produce food is way more than we think it currently is.
Yeah. Totally agree. And I think that's the only way we can really grow more food and like raise more food and do that sustainably, is by finding out a way to turn this like current land that's just useless at the moment back into fertile soil. Like, that should be like the go-to, that should be the focus. And if we're not focusing on that, then we're just going to strip the what current land we do of like more and more resources, and then that land is going to become useless. Like, that's what we're doing with monocropping. So it's like, the only way we can make the solution is either have less people, which nobody wants to have that conversation,
yeah,
or figure out how to make more land useful. Like, that seems to be like the two options.
Yep, that's true. Yeah, because that first option is going to be a hard sell.
Yeah, and that's a whole other can of worms, uh-huh, that I don't really want to get into.
Yeah, exactly. It's a whole other thing, but but yeah, so that's the podcast on insects. They can provide some good quality protein, but we don't think that should be the focus. But yeah, insects aren't as bad as I thought they were. Like I said, I thought I was going to come in here and talk for 20 minutes about how shitty they are, but they really do provide some decent amino acids if you find the right species of the 2,000 that we eat. But yeah, so that's the podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed it. You can find us at tntwellnessandnutrition.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, so feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah, please rate, review, and subscribe on whatever your favorite podcast provider is. That's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. Hope everybody has a happy, healthy week.